Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550.
Tee to Green is being presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club.
A hole in one, not big.
Now it's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Koziol, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis.
Good morning, everybody. Here on a beautiful Saturday in late August in Western New York, we welcome you into Tee to Green, live and on the air here on WGR Sports Radio 550. I'm Brian Koziol. Here alongside PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. Kevin Sylvester is at the BMW Championship in Maryland, and we'll get an update from him. So he's working this week for PGA Tour Radio at 7:45, a little bit later in our show. But we're live here at one of our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club, here in North Tonawanda, and play is already underway from the members. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. It's another beautiful day in Western New York to play golf, and we get to watch and pick on swings on the first tee here. We can make a few jokes if we want, Brian.
That's right.
We're not gonna, but yeah.
The tough, long par 3, number 1 here at Pendleton Creek to start, over water. Probably, let's see where the tees are, probably like a 190 shot.
That's a fun way to start your morning.
That's tough.
Let me rip a 4-iron in there first thing this morning.
You show up at 6:30 in the morning and first shot out of the day, 190.
Yeah.
And the tees are even up. Sometimes it's like 205. Yeah, it's not an easy first shot out of the car.
Yeah, it's not ease into your round type of thing. Yeah, Donald Ross always seemed to design those easy par 4, par 5 for your first hole for a reason, I think.
Yep, this is definitely the breakfast ball possible hole there with that water staring you in the face right away.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of naming holes, but that would be a good name for that hole, the breakfast ball hole.
Yeah. Coming up here on the show over the next hour here is we're at Pendleton Creek Golf Club. We'll be joined at 7:20. By Ryan Edholm of Canisius Golf and also club champion here at Pendleton Creek. Ryan is going to be amongst the group of competitors from Canisius, who's the host school, Niagara, and St. Bonaventure in what is the annual Little Three event between the three schools. And this year it is here at Pendleton Creek Golf Club, a two-round tournament that is on Tuesday. They play one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and we'll get some thoughts from Ryan on playing in that. Jeff, when you were involved with Niagara Golf as a coach years ago, you know about this event, Canisius, yep. Niagara and Bonaventure.
Yeah, and I played in it when I was in college, and it's a nice tradition. Three nice golf programs. They always get together every year. Now, they see each other in a lot of other events, but this is for bragging rights in Western New York, and it's a fun event. And I hear the Edholm brothers might be paired against each other. I wonder if that's straight rankings or coaches having a little fun with them.
We'll have to see how that plays out. Yes, Ryan has a brother, Tyler, who's on Niagara, Ryan on Canisius. Bonaventure, by the way, has the bragging rights. They've come in defending champions.
Well, Bonaventure really has a strong golf program. Swanee down there, the coach, Ryan Swanson, he's got some nice resources. They're in a nice conference. They've got, they got a very, very good golf program. You got to be a very good golfer to play for St. Bonaventure.
So we'll talk to Ryan coming up at 7:20 in our second segment, as he is, of course, playing for Canisius. And then, as I mentioned, Kevin Sylvester's at the BMW Championship. We'll talk to him at 7:45. But this week on the PGA Tour, they're in the second week of the playoffs, down to 70 players, and guys are playing for a spot in next week's Tour Championship, which will be down to the final 30. And the PGA Tour season will come to an end, which next week is our last show. It kind of seems like the end of the summer really like flies, Jeff, here. It's just a beautiful Saturday. We're sitting here watching guys playing, teeing off, and we're doing our show, and I was like, holy cow, the summer's over next week.
And it's literally my favorite time to play golf. Like, this is when I really start thinking about getting into golf. It's such a wonderful time to play for the next few months. It does feel weird, but once football season gets here, everybody's focus starts to shift a little.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yesterday at the BMW, again, we'll talk a little bit more with Kevin about this, but Bryson DeChambeau.
Nice.
He had two great looks at a 59. He shot a 60. He's got a one-shot lead right now on Patrick Cantlay. As we get our check of the PGA Tour leaderboard here, brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft, This Ball is Different, and also by Puma Golf Shoes. DeChambeau with his 60, he's at 16 under. Patrick Cantlay and John Rahm one shot back. Rahm still has three holes to play. They had to suspend play due to darkness yesterday after a rain delay. So Rahm will have a couple of holes to try to maybe tie DeChambeau or even maybe take the lead. But those three playing very well. DeChambeau had a birdie look on 17, and then Jeff on 18. Did you see the shot in?
It was about 6 feet, I want to say.
6 feet.
I never thought he was going to miss it.
And
I
he
just
missed
thought
it,
for sure he did.
And he didn't even catch the hole. He played it out too much break, and it just missed. But that would have been obviously a nice historical moment for DeChambeau.
Still a great round. 59. Yeah, his career low, 60. So that's...
And on a par 72. I know a lot of times we see the 59s maybe on par 70s, on shorter courses, yep, where you know guys can reach every par 5. And you know, not that DeChambeau can't reach par 5s, yep, we know that. But
and this
on
cave.
A par 72, at a tough course, at a long course, that's an impressive number for sure. And if he would have gotten to 59... to shoot 13 under on the day, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, and Caves Valley's no joke. It's one of the top facilities in the world, and that's a great. Obviously, these guys are the best players in the world, and there's a reason. You know, if you want to be a tour player, let's go. So can I beat Bryson DeChambeau today? I don't think I'm gonna. Yeah, but fun to watch. You know, and I like when these guys shoot good scores. I like seeing the birdies. Sometimes it's fun to watch golf where they're struggling for par in the U.S. Open, and sometimes it's fun when they're just shooting 62 all over the place. Also,
on a really really nice course to view. Yeah,
it's a beautiful golf course.
So more coming up from Kevin at 7:45 as he's been there for PGA Tour Radio. A couple of other storylines that came out this week during the event that I want to mention. First of all, Phil Mickelson yesterday tweeting about driver length. He says
that
rumor that the USGA is going to pull back driver length to 46 inches. And I want to bring up what he said about it and then get your comment on it, Jeff, to see... in terms of just, is he? Do you agree with what he's saying? Let's see here. I've got it. Maybe I don't have it. Hold on. Anyway, I could paraphrase it.
Yeah.
He said that rumor is the USGA wants to move driver length back to 46 inches, and he talked about that this would promote a faster swing, a more violent swing. He said it could create more injuries. He said we should be thinking about creating speed based upon the length of the swing. He said it'll save guys, it'll give him more years to play being healthy. He, for the record, at the moment uses a 47.5-inch driver, but Mickelson not happy about this. What do you think about the ruling if this ends up being true? And what, I guess, what's the USGA's goal in saying we want to move this back to 46?
I don't understand the goal. I understand they want to put parameters on the clubs, and technically there's an inherent advantage if you have a longer club because you have longer arc width and length, and in theory you can create more speed.
Okay, here's, I'll give you what Mickelson said. He goes, he said, word is USGA is soon going to roll driver length back to 46 inches. This is pathetic. He goes, first, it promotes a shorter, more violent swing, injury prone, and it doesn't allow for the length of the arc to create speed. He said, now we have our first golf boom in almost 40 years here, and our amateur governing body is trying to make it less fun.
I think my opinion is he's a little bit out of touch with that statement. You know, people are swinging harder and faster. Not everybody's going to hit a longer club better because of different, like a John Rahm, because the way he loads the shaft and his quick set and stuff, a longer shafted driver is not going to help him create more speed. It may, the way Phil plays the game, I disagree that it's causing injury. Guys are getting stronger and faster. And, you know, and the other thing is, I think the tour length is around 45, the average. I think he's an outlier with the length of his driver. You know, maybe DeChambeau has a long one. He has long. Maybe there's four or five guys. But I think most of the guys, you know, the analogy I like to use, if you're a baseball player and you can't get around on a fastball, do you go to a longer, heavier bat? No, you go to a shorter, lighter bat.
Or they always tell you to choke up.
Right, yeah. Right. And it's easier to hit the center of the blade with a shorter club. I don't necessarily, it's not, I don't think it's going to affect the game. I think it's, his tweet is purely out of self-interest because he enjoys that driver and he, you know, he wants to keep hitting it far and he hits it further than he does the shorter ones.
Yep. And he also definitely, if you know, people wondering like, why is Phil Mickelson still able to be so good at this age? Mm-hmm. Part of the, I think, whether this directly relates or not, but part of Mickelson's success at an older age has been that he hasn't had to fight injury like a lot of these other guys had. So I'm sure that's in the back of his mind a little.
Right. And the way he swings, he's right. He has a type of swing, like a John Daly type of swing that's less prone to injury, where you look at a John Rahm, you can understand that's a shorter, quicker, more violent. He's never going to swing like Phil Mickelson. You know, certain body types and certain personalities swing quicker, and certain people lag load, and some people set early and get their shaft. There's a million different ways to do it. So, but go put a 47.5-inch driver in your hand and see how long that actually is and see how difficult it is for the average player to hit. I think there's very, very few amateurs that are out there hitting 47.5-inch drivers. The only place it'll have an effect is the few guys on the tour that are using the extra-long drivers, I would say.
Yep. All right, so there's our check of the PGA Tour leaderboard. The LPGA this week, the CP Women's Open, was in Vancouver, and that event unfortunately canceled, so no LPGA event this week. But we do have a great local note here to pass along for the LPGA, and that is Cindy Miller getting another accolade. Congrats, Cindy. She is now going to be the recipient of the 2021 Nancy Lopez Award. That is awesome.
Yeah, and I'm a huge Cindy Miller fan. I've known Cindy for 25 or 30 years. I was the pro at her club, where she's an emeritus honorary member because of all the things she's accomplished in golf, from going from Silver Creek to New York to playing at University of Miami to playing the tour to now being a really, really fine teacher who really is engaged with her students and does a lot, especially for women and girls golf. And she's just a wonderful woman to be around if you've ever spent some time around Cindy. Super happy for her, and congratulations.
The Nancy Lopez Achievement Award was created by LPGA professionals in 2007. It's given to LPGA pros who emulate, you know, qualities valued by Lopez: leadership, passion, giving, approachability, and I would say Sydney definitely checks all those.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Checks all those boxes.
The epitome of those boxes right there, yes. Wonderful woman, and I recommend anybody who wants to get better and enjoy a lesson to spend some time with Cindy Miller.
Yeah, she does a great job. So, Cindy, if you're listening, or friends and family of Cindy Miller, congratulations on her Nancy Lopez Golf Achievement Award. All right, let's get to our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week here now, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal: promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond. We'll talk about the lob shot here today. Yeah. So most of the time, this obviously would occur right around the green. I mean, I guess technically it could happen anywhere if you need to get over a tree or something along those lines, but this is going to happen green side. And before you tell us some tips on it, I'll say, at least playing with friends and others, sometimes people use this shot too much. Mm-hmm. I know you're a big proponent of using the green when you have the opportunity to do so, or the bump and run shot, especially if there's like the ability to go through fairway to get up to the green, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're short of the green, stuff like that. But guys will use the lob shot. So let's talk about maybe when to use it, when not to use it, and then some of the keys component when you are deciding to make that kind of shot.
Well, it's a difficult shot for most people because, you know, controlling the blade through impact and using the bounce angle properly and controlling your loft. So I'm talking about hitting a shot from the fairway where maybe you have to pitch it over a bunker, or you know, get it high in the air. this is also the shot. You don't want to hit it if you don't have to, but you want to learn. This is a great time of year to start adding shots to your repertoire. If you want to be a better golfer, if you want to get better for next year, if you want to get better for this fall, if you can learn to control a high lob pitch, control the distance from a tight fairway lie, that's a really nice shot to have in your bag. There's a couple different ways. You know, there's a method where you kind of widen your stance like a bunker stance, put the ball in the middle, open up the blade, and come in real shallow and real rounded, and just kind of, the old saying is, cut the legs out from underneath it. And that's, I call that like the super hoist, when you're just trying to hoist it as far as you can. There's a method I actually learned years ago that I like for those pitches where you can hit it really high and really soft in a much simpler way, is if you set up to the golf ball in your normal pitching setup, and then I'm a right-handed golfer, I will cup my left wrist. So I turn my watch or my knuckles up towards my watch, and basically I'm opening my club at address by cupping my left wrist. All right, so that club will look kind of funny setting up to the golf ball because the blade will be open and stuff like that. But I cup that left wrist, and then I keep that left wrist cupped throughout the shot. So go out to a nice tight lie today, somewhere, you know, around a bunker if you're warming up before your round. As a right-handed golfer, cup your left wrist, so push your left wrist back towards the forearm, and set up like that. Don't rearrange the club face, and just try to hit some pitches. I found it's a way to be able to use that leading edge or that bounce, I'm sorry, and keep that face angle consistent throughout the shot for a lob shot. So I found it's an interesting and an easier way to control the height, control the trajectory, and control the distance on my short pitches that I need to hit high. Remember, you're going to have some speed because you got a lot more loft. I mean, if you're taking a 56-degree wedge, and once you cup it, you open it 10 degrees, you got quite a bit of loft there. And it's also going to teach you how to use the bounce angle on the bottom of the club as you hit these shots. And once you learn to use the bounce on the bottom of your wedge for these short game shots, you become a much better short game player.
Yeah. Here at Pendleton Creek, when I'm playing, a lot of times the greens are here mostly slope up from front to back. Mm-hmm. So if I miss it short, the green, that's usually where I'll try to hit that more bump and run.
Yep.
Yeah, pitch and run shot. If I'm deep of the green, that's where I have to kind of utilize more of that lob sort of idea.
Yeah, and it
because you can't throw it into the bank. It's a much tougher
right.
shot. To
and
do
it's
that,
a little yeah. tougher from the rough because you don't always know where the bottom of the golf ball is and
right.
you know where that turf is underneath the golf ball. So you kind of, that's a little bit more of a feel. But the thing I found when you're playing these shots, you have to have an aggressive mindset. You know, you can't make a defensive swing when you're hitting lobs. It's just commit to the best shot you can and get in there and take your cut and visualize hitting a very good shot. But, yeah, from the rough, it's a little tougher. And sometimes if you can hit a high lob, like, you know, if you've got those long bump and runs and you've got a lot of undulation or some bad, that's a nice spot to also be able to control the trajectory. Remember, Tiger was so good for a while at the short game. He would open his blade a little bit, and he, instead of doing the bump and runs, he would pitch it right next to the hole and stop it right away. But he was so good at controlling yeah. his distance. That was just an easier way for him to hit it close. But learning to control your trajectory, learning to hit it high around the greens is always going to make you a better player.
Yeah, and if you miss around a bunker and you've got to go over it, like that's
yep.
that's probably maybe the most common spot where you'd have to do it is going over a bunker around the green.
Yeah, you're short, and you got to pitch it over the bunker in the fairway and the pins front right. Yeah, and you got to, you know, you don't want to pitch out left and try the two putt. No, yeah. you want to get up and down.
But I'll agree with you just from doing it myself and messing it up myself. If you don't commit to it, yep. it's just like when you're in the sand. If you don't commit to it, ball's going to end up.
That's pretty much every golf shot.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
That's
if
true.
If you're not committed, yeah. If you're half hearted about it, you're probably not going to have much success.
Yeah. Great stuff there from Jeff Metis. You can get your tip of the week from any PGA professional. Don Schneider, the great PGA pro here. If you want to get started with golf, get connected with your local PGA professional, you can contact Jeff. You can contact me. We'll get you taken care of. You can also find a ton of information at WNYPGA.com. Okay, timeout here from Pendleton Creek. We're going to take a timeout when we come back. Ryan Enholm from Canisius Golf, the Little Three tournament between Canisius Niagara and St. Bonaventure is on Tuesday right here. And we'll be joined by Ryan next to get a little preview of the event. Corey Griswold producing back in our Amherst studios. PGA Pro Jeff Metis here with me. I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you for listening. Kevin Sylvester coming up from the BMW Championship at 7:45 as we roll on here on a beautiful Saturday morning from Pendleton Creek on Tee to Green. Back with more in a moment on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up. Time now for our Champions Tour Report, brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing, the world's finest golf apparel.
Back here on Tee to Green at Pendleton Creek Golf Club. Thanks for being with us here on WGR. It is time for our Champions Tour Report, as you heard. And they're through one round of the Ally Challenge in Michigan. And no surprise, Bernhard Langer and Marco Dawson tied for the lead after they shot 8 under 64s yesterday. Jim Furyk, the defending champion of this event, he is amongst a large group at 7 under par. That is one shot back. That includes Joe Durant, KJ Choi, Darren Clark, Woody Austin, Doug Barron are at 6 under. Davis Love the third. Retief Goosen, Corey Pavin, and are at minus 5. Mike Weir, the Canadian, is at minus 4. But
Corey Pavin, I haven't heard that name in a while.
Corey Pavin, that would have been the 95 U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills.
Yeah,
when he hit that 3-wood from the fairway.
He did an event at the club I worked at in Rochester years ago when he was playing those Voss irons. I don't know if you remember those those really ugly, really funny looking irons. Yeah. And he's a very small guy.
He is
nice
small.
Guy. Very nice guy.
Yeah. He hit the shot of his life, though, at that 18th hole to win
forward?
The U.S. Open.
It was
a fairway wood. Yeah. I don't remember if it was 3-wood or 4-wood or whatever, but yeah, pretty incredible.
He can't compete in today's tour, though. I mean, just without the length and the strength, yeah, if he was playing today, wouldn't be able to.
Absolutely. So we're here at Pendleton Creek Golf Club. Speaking of a guy that hits it far, we've got a guest here coming in, not to put any pressure on him. I did get to play with him earlier this summer. He hits it so super straight, and we're excited to have him on here. Ryan Edholm, now freshman Canisius golfer. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're great. Thanks for coming on, Ryan. As Jeff, I know, as you know, being a former college golf coach, there's nothing more than college students love to do on the last weekend before classes start than wake up at 6-something in the morning to come here and join our show.
Well, you could hear the enthusiasm in his voice as he said, good morning. That's what we love about young men at this age.
That's right.
Yeah. I've known the Edholm boys, him and his brother, for years as a college golf coach, and I remember wanting to recruit his older brother at the time. Mostly because I heard what great kids they were. And first and foremost, you spend a lot of time with kids when you travel on a golf team. And first and foremost, I've heard nothing but great things about both these young men. And I know he's a fine player. You just won your club championship here also, didn't you?
Yep, I did a couple weeks ago.
Did you?
Tell us about that a little bit, Ryan.
Can you expand on that a little?
Yeah.
The first day I had it going. And 567 was the number, and I was leading by one. And then the back nine, I was up 6 with like 6 to play, and then
you started feeling it. Maybe
no, not quite.
Oh, there's the attitude. I like it.
Yeah,
I smoked one OB on 15 to make it a little more interesting, and I ended up winning by 2. So it was a good weekend.
Yeah, it must have been fun. Now you're competing for Canisius College for the first time coming up at this facility, right? At Tantera, or at Pendleton Creek here this
correct.
Week, right?
Yes, correct.
You're competing for Canisius College as a golfer for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
What, are you excited? I mean, plus you get to be paired with your brother. How'd that happen, by the way? Because he plays for Niagara, and typically the coaches must be wanting to have a little fun with you guys out there for 36 holes, huh?
Yeah, it should be interesting. I'm excited. Maybe a little bit nervous, but it's great to be on a golf course that I know, like the back of my hand. And
well, that's what I was going to say, Ryan, is that you're playing in your first college event. Of course, you're going to have different feelings and nerves, as anybody would. But the fact that at least you're here on your home course, that's got to make it a little easier for you.
It for sure makes it much easier.
And are you going to stomp your brother into the ground or what?
I hope so.
Yeah, right. Well, what's your best shot out there? So, like, what's your best shot in your golf game?
I feel like my ball striking is good. I like hitting the driver. Mm-hmm. I like hitting it fairly straight for the most part. Keep it in play. I'm not one of the longest guys out there, but I can keep it in play pretty well. So,
well, when I played with Ryan, I don't know, a month or so ago, he hits it boringly straight. Just and I mean that all in a complimentary way. Every hole, down the middle,
that's
down
no
the
fun.
Middle.
That's no, where's the excitement? Yeah.
I know. There was no drama off the tee. No, Ryan hits it super straight. I would say that's the strength of your game. You never really you said you put yourself in an OB on one hole, but no, you don't put yourself in trouble. I mean, that sets yourself up to score well, obviously.
Yeah, not much trouble out there. So,
and that's good. This course is a harder driving course than others, Jeff.
Very narrow.
It's a more narrower course. There's some out of bounds on the back nine. There's some trees in the middle, and it's made me, who's not at the level of the player that Ryan is, but it's made me a better driver of the golf ball, especially now when I go to other courses. Because do you sense that, Ryan, too, when if you go to other courses, like, of course,
it looks like
a hole that you might think people might say is a tighter hole doesn't seem as tight because this is a tougher driving course.
Yeah, for sure. The fairways are very narrow here, and there's trees lining most of them. So
it looks like a Walmart hitting in the Walmart parking lot going somewhere else sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ryan Edholm with us, Canisius freshman golfer, going to be a part of the Little Three event on Tuesday here at Pendleton Creek starting at 7 a.m. Spectators are welcome to show up if you want to. It's between Canisius, Niagara, and St. Bonaventure. Ryan, obviously this will be your first event for Canisius, but the rivalry of these three schools for golf, what do you know about that so far?
Yeah, I mean, my brother's at Niagara, so I've heard about that for four years now.
It's got to be annoying.
Fourth year.
Yeah.
So I've heard all about that, how they're going to beat us, and we'll see how that goes. But
well, you'll have something to say about that. Yeah. But
at least now you're right. You're right in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I can do something about it. He's been talking all this crap all summer, and now we can see his boss.
I want to watch just for the trash talking between the brothers. That would be as the coach, I'd be just following your group and I'd chirping both of you. But yeah, it'd be fun. Now, it's also important for you because it's a qualifier, right? So in the way college golf works, typically there'll be a qualifier. They'll have an event. You're playing at Turning Stone in a few weeks, which is an awesome facility. And I know of that golf tournament. It's a great golf tournament. So it's also important for you to play well for your team because you want to be in the top five in order to qualify for that event, right?
Yeah, for sure. Also, be really cool for our team to win my first tournament, so that'd be ideal.
Yeah, you're in for a fun 4 years of college golf experience, a lot of minivan rides and a lot of Subway sandwiches and a lot of rain delays and a lot of slow rounds, but it's awesome and it's a great experience.
Yeah, I'm excited. Can't wait.
Yeah, Jeff, when you coached at Niagara here too, I know one thing that, you know, you had said is that you get to really see boys mature and grow up. I mean, they come in young men and they leave...
Yeah, they
obviously
leave with mustaches.
Ready to go into the adult world. Like, that's a cool transformation to get to see, you know, in terms of the time period.
Yeah, for me, that was looking back on it after being there for a few years. You know, you're probably 17, 18 years old. Kids come into college, or, you know, by the time they leave, they're grizzled college vets. They can't wait to get out. They got their degree. They're trying to get jobs. They look older. They've gained 30 pounds. You know, they've grown into young men, as you say. And it's pretty cool. And then to see as a coach, when you see some of the guys that you graduated years later and, you know, and see how they're doing, that stuff's still pretty cool. Cause you spend a lot of time with these kids when you're on a golf team with them and you're traveling 30 nights a year and traveling all over the country and playing all these golf tournaments, eating breakfast, lunch and dinner together. And it was a pretty cool experience.
Yep. Ryan, what are some of your goals here for your freshman year? I know coming in playing college golf for the first time.
I was going to say good grades first.
Yeah.
Yes, good grades.
Good grades would be really good. I just want to play in a lot of tournaments, just try to get out there and get a little more experience down and just to have fun with my teammates this year. So that'd be a lot of fun to travel with them and hopefully go down to Disney for championships in the spring. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, the Disney event is very fun. The Mac runs an amazing championship down there at Disney event, and they get to play the courses, they get a Disney pass, they get to hang out with their buddies, there's a pool at their, you know, at the room, and it is a good week. So that would be a good goal to make the team for that, and
yeah,
I'm sure you have to earn that throughout the fall and spring here, I'm sure.
What player or two maybe on the PGA Tour do you try to maybe look up to, or whose game do you love to watch the most when you're watching the best in the world play?
I kind of like watching Bryson. I know he shot 60 yesterday. That's kind of the easy answer, but I like watching him swing.
You're a Bryson fan?
I mean, uh-oh. I'm not really a fan.
You just said you weren't one of the longest hitters out there, but you love Bryson.
Yeah, because I just like watching him take a slash at that ball, and it just goes so far, and it's ridiculous to me.
Okay.
It is. I mean, it's a phenomenon to see him swing. It really is.
It is. Yeah,
even if it's not good, like, I wouldn't want... I can't swing like that. I'm physically...
Yeah, most people are physically unable
to swing like
anything
that.
Close to that, yeah. And if you've ever seen, like, the competitive long drivers in person or up close, that's... I mean, and they're going 20 more miles an hour, clubhead speed, or whatever it is. It's pretty cool to watch somebody that can create that much torque and power and speed hit a golf ball in person. Yeah, it's like watching Josh Allen throw a football. Like, when you're standing next to him, it goes hard and fast, yes.
Yes, Bryson's is a fun one to watch for sure. Mm. All right, don't give away all your secrets, Ryan, but you're for your teammates, not for anybody for NU or St. Bonaventure, of course. We wouldn't want to give them secrets, but what's the key to scoring well here at Pendleton Creek?
Everything's fairly in front of you here at Pendleton Creek. I like to tell my teammates to stay in front of the hole because all the greens are sloped back to front pretty hard, and depending on the greens, it can get away from you if you're behind the hole. So just stay below the hole, be aggressive, and... be good.
That's right.
And what's your brother's weakness that you're going to try to exploit when you're paired with him for 36 holes on Tuesday?
my brother's weakness. Would it be? I feel like I can get in his head pretty well.
There you
well,
go. Good so. Answer. Yeah. All right, good. Yeah, start early. All right. A little tip for you as a coach.
Gamesmanship here, Jeff.
It just sounds like fun to me.
It does. That would be a great pairing. So anyway, Canisius, Niagara, St. Bonaventure is here. 7 a.m. is the first round.
Correct, yeah.
Then you guys get a quick lunch, and then you're back out for round two.
Mm-hmm.
And they're walking. They don't take carts. Yeah. Can you walk 36 holes?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I could.
Many times.
Many, many, many times. Awesome. Oh. Well, Ryan, good luck. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. Represent the club well here at this event. We're excited to have it here. And I know that your parents are proud and people will be pulling for you. I know Coach Todd Hummel is listening. And I know he's hoping to have a great career out of you as well. So congrats on making the Canisius team, and hopefully we'll get to see lots of fun things with you here over the next 4 years.
Yeah, it should be fun, and enjoy it, and hopefully we'll see you win the MAC championship and make it to the Nationals one of these years.
Yeah, that'd be ideal.
Right. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right. Ryan Edholm with us here from Pendleton Creek. Yes, he is. We can introduce him as the club champion, right?
That's
Jeff?
Right. Yeah, do you get the parking spot? That's the one last question.
Actually, they took those away.
Just because you won, because you're a kid. Yeah. That's why they did it. Yeah.
Yeah, they did a nice job resurfacing and re-signing and relining, and then they took that away, Ryan. Yeah. It would have been your spot.
They had to add more handicap spots.
Well,
so hopefully they'll stick them in there soon, and we can find a new spot for
them. We can find a spot for you. Listen, we'll set it. We'll make a makeshift sign out
there. Yeah, be 200 yards away.
Don, what happened to Ryan's parking spot? He wins, and they take the spot away.
It's over in maintenance. Yeah,
that's right. It's behind the maintenance barn. That's the new spot. Yeah, the new logos are coming on it. It's coming.
Right.
That's right. Thanks again, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Ryan Edholm with us here from Pendleton Creek. Again, he and his brother Tyler and everybody from Niagara Canisius St. Bonaventure here on Tuesday, 7 a.m. If you want to come out and watch, spectators are encouraged to do so. Okay, we're going to take a timeout here on Tee to Green. When we come back, Kevin Sylvester from the B&W Championship. We'll see what Bryson DeChambeau and the pros are up to as they are looking to get into the final event, which is the Tour Championship next week. Timeout from Pendleton Creek. More Tee to Green with Jeff Mitis. I'm Brian Colziel. Corey Griswold, producing back in our Amherst studios. Thanks for listening. Back with more in a moment on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up. Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup Report is being brought to you by Jumpa Agency, Main Street in Clarence.
We're back here on Tee to Green, live at Pendleton Creek Golf Club in North Tonawanda, one of our home clubs. Thanks for being with us. Brian Colziel, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitis. We'll have Kevin Sylvester from the B&W Championship in just a few moments. And big thanks to Ryan Edholm from Canisius Golf. He and his brother Tyler from Niagara and all the players from Canisius, Niagara, and St. Bonaventure will be competing in the Little 3 event here at Pendleton Creek on Tuesday with play starting at 7 a.m. If you're looking for something to do and you want to come out and watch the event, it is free. They encourage spectators to come out. Time for the Ryder Cup report. You heard it there. Coming back, we have five players that have now, through points, gotten themselves enough points that they will be automatically on the team. Jeff Mitis, the team will definitely have, the USA team will have Colin Morikawa, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, and Justin Thomas on the team. Tony Finau has moved up after his win last week.
I think he's in.
At the moment, he would be in. It's almost mathematically impossible for him not to be at this moment. But that's your top six. They'll be on the team.
Yeah, he'd be a captain's pick, I think, either way. And then you've got...
How about Finau winning last week? I mean, he went so long not winning for him. It was a nice story.
And he handled it with such grace and poise, you know, because he's getting grilled with, all those questions.
Right. Are you going to win again? Are you going to win again? Yeah.
And it was great what John Rahm had said about him afterwards. If you don't root for that guy, then you don't know. He's just the best dude in the world. So everybody on tour seemed to be super happy for him. And I'm happy because I think it locked up his... I know it locked up his spot on the Ryder Cup now, so that'll be fun to watch him.
So here's the next six. Again, Steve Stricker gets six captain's picks. Schauffele is seventh.
Nice.
You'd pick him, right?
I would pick Schauffele, yes.
Spieth is eighth. You'd pick him.
I'd pick him.
Harris English having a very good season. He's ninth.
I'd probably pick him, but I don't know too much about his game. Yeah.
Patrick Reed, who's in the top six all year, is 10th. He's dropping because he's not playing in these events because he has ammonia and he was in the hospital.
Yeah, he got pneumonia through COVID, didn't he? I believe so.
Yeah. So he's out, or he's out of the automatic. Now, you know the Ryder Cup means as much to him as anybody. He went to the Olympics last minute. He says he always will play for his country no matter what.
If he's healthy, he's on my team. Yeah, that's the way it would be. Yeah.
Cantlay is 11th. He's one shot off the lead this week.
Playing well at the right time of year. Yep.
And then you've got Berger 12, Simpson 13, Scheffler 14, Horschel 15.
I think once you start getting down there, it's going to be tougher to make this team with I always feel like we're stacked, though, and then we always get beat. So I feel like we're really, really stacked this time, though. And our players are playing well.
Is Mickelson at 19 not an option? He's just not
on my team. I'd
consistent.
Have him as a captain or something. I'd have him there for the fellas, but I would not. I would not pick him right now.
Kisner, who won the Wyndham Championship 2 weeks ago, is a pretty good match play player. He's 18th.
He'd be a nice pick, you know, and you also want to go with who's playing well at the time, too. You know, it's like the year-long points, but you could be struggling right now with your game, and you want people that are playing well, like John Rahm is right now.
Right. Speaking of John Rahm here, before we bring in Kevin Sylvester, great quote from him this week that I want to talk about here. So he's Ted Lasso, of course. You know who he is.
I want to watch it. I haven't seen it yet. I've heard nothing but good things.
That's right. So John Rahm was talking about his strong opening first round at the BMW Championship, and he says he took Ted Lasso's advice. He goes, for all the Ted Lasso fans out there, he says, you got to be a goldfish. So what's he referring to? Well, the goldfish, he says, is the smartest animal out there because after 10 seconds, they forget everything. But he says, for golf, that's good. He goes, forget that last shot. And then a reporter, kudos to whoever asked this, followed up and said, who's the best goldfish on tour? And he says it's Dustin Johnson by far.
I would agree with that. He said, looking from the outside in, I know it hit home with me because my kids used to call me Dory. Dory the goldfish, because I had a 10-second memory. And I do think he's right. Yeah, it's like a cornerback in football. Yeah, if you have a bad play, just come back the next one and hit a good shot. We always said, don't let the previous shot affect your next shot. And I think that's basically what he's implying there.
I agree. That's something that sometimes is tough to do, is to forget your last shot or forget your last hole. How often do people walk off of a hole disappointed about whatever happened on the previous hole, angry, mad, whatever, and then that next driver swing's affected by it?
Oh, all day,
right? You see that so often.
Every golf course, or I'm playing something, you know, and you see people physically change and get frustrated.
They swing harder all of a sudden, or they grip the club.
And sometimes it's you hit a good shot and you just catch a bad break, and that's golf. You know, you got to roll with the punches.
I think that's a great, we had our tip of the week earlier.
Yeah.
That's a great second tip of the week here for our show. Be a goldfish.
Yeah, and that's where your routine comes into play, because if you have a good routine, you're flushing all that previous thoughts and everything else out of your mind and just really focusing on the task at hand.
I think that works in every sport, your routine. Whether you're getting in the batter's box, about to, you know, get set for the next pitch.
Serve a tennis ball.
That's when I'm coaching tennis, it's exactly what I say. I'm like, do your routine. Like for me, I bounce the ball 3 times and I bring my racket up. And I tell my boys, I'm like, this is what I do every time. This way, I'm thinking about that and not that I just double faulted. I'm thinking about that. Or not the fact that this is set point or whatever it is, you know, something like that. I'm thinking about 1 bounce, 2 bounce, 3 bounce, bring the racket up, and now I'm ready to go.
Look at the great free throw shooters. You know their routines.
Oh, yeah. So. Every single time they do that. Yeah. So, yes, be a goldfish. I
might write that on my golf bag.
I think that's a great line. Hey, before we bring Kevin in, I want to thank everybody over at Diamond Hawk this week, and the Crime Stoppers local chapter held an event there on Monday. I played with Josh Reed from Channel 4 and also Scott and Chris from the Amherst Police. It was a really, really cool event. They do wonderful work to help solve crimes in the area, but Diamond Hawk was in great shape. I know we've been there a few times this year for our show, and for a course that gets a lot of play and it's getting better and better. They have new owners this year. I thought it was in tremendous shape, and kudos to everybody over there at Diamond Hawk. It was really, really fun, and we had a great time. And humble brag. Well, no, I didn't win close to the pin. I got the long drive.
No, that's not shocking. That's not shocking, Brian.
I was hitting it well, and it was one of those holes where I'm like, well, if it's in the fairway, I got a chance. And it was when I got down there, I was in.
Yeah. Well, that I am not surprised at all. I would bet on you to win a lot of long drives. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. We had a really fun time. We didn't score well on the par fives. That was our downfall. You got to birdie all the fives in a scramble.
Oh yes, at least a birdie. Yes, and especially as far as you hit it, Brian. Come on, you should be making eagles.
I know. Well, the second shots in weren't great. Yeah.
Welcome
to my game. Yeah, it's my game. I'll take the blame for that. All right. Speaking of being a goldfish, we're going to forget about my second shots on the par five on Monday. We're going to bring in Kevin Sylvester here from the B&W Championship, of course, part of our Tee to Green team. Kevin working hard for PGA Tour Radio this week. I was listening to him yesterday afternoon while driving around. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
I'm sorry. Which show am I on? I forgot. No.
Yes. Did you hear that quote from Rahm after round one? Be a goldfish? Quoting Ted Lasso there?
You know what? I asked the question right before you asked that question. So
you were there.
Yeah, I was right there.
That's a great mentality, right? And he said DJ is the best on tour about just forgetting the last shot and moving on.
Oh, there's no question. So I'll give you an example of DJ hitting a bad shot and just being like, eh, okay. So earlier this year at Kapalua in Hawaii on the 15th hole, par 5, it's kind of a switchback hole. It's a par. It goes to the right, then comes back up the hill to the left. Well, he pushed it. He just overcut it, and he's in the they call it sugar grass. And I go over, help him to search for the ball because there's like marsh and never saw where the ball went. And I said, DJ, I got it. And he goes, yep, that's my ball. Okay, thanks. And he just turned and picked it up, walked out, dropped it, and hit the next shot. Wasn't like, damn it. Shucks, nothing. He's just like, yeah, that's my ball. Okay, picked it up and just walked up. Took his drop because it was a penalty area. It was, marked red. And went up point of entry and just dropped and played on. He wasn't mad, nothing. So
maybe that's why he's the best player in the world, the acceptance of those bad shots, yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, Max Homa had one of the best comments about this. It was a Q&A session that I had the opportunity to host virtually. Instead of doing pro-ams, they did these virtual chats. And one of the participants asked, they get to ask questions. And they asked Max Homa, how do you handle a bad shot in the course? And he said, I forget who, but it was a pro growing up who said to me, why would you focus on the bad shot when you hit 15 really good shots? And that's a great point. Like, you think about all the good shots you hit turn around. Why the hell would you, get so angry about one bad one?
Yeah. And it's going to happen when you play golf, for sure. I mean, even the best in the world, everybody's has their own standard for themselves. You're going to hit bad shots. You're right. So the be a goldfish idea is something that I think is really important.
So let's go with the fish thing, right? So you go fishing, all right? Steelhead season's coming up. I'm excited about that, right, this coming fall. I'll go out fishing for 4 hours. I might catch two of them. That's a great day. How many drifts I do or casts I do to get two? And I get two out of, let's say, 500. I had a great day.
That wouldn't be good for golf, though. that's a bad proportion for golf.
Well,
out of 500.
It is. Yes, it is.
Kev, tell us about the event this week. The facility, Caves Valley, looks amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, what a property! I mean, this
place, have you been there before?
No, not been here before. They hosted a senior championship before. They hosted the 2005 NCAA championship. They hosted the women's NCAA championship and in 2014 the LPGA International. But so I had not been here before. Let me tell you, the place is just spectacular. It's huge. This walk, and I talked to a couple of caddies, and they said it's a tougher walk than Kapalua, which is saying something. Because Kapalua is a tough walk, in Maui. The elevation changes are seemingly on every hole, most every hole. And, the walks just to you know, we have support cards, and I've used it more. It's also been 105 degree heat index the last couple of days. So, I mean, it's been a tough walk. Caddies actually took their bibs off, shirts soaked. Adam Hayes, John Rahm's caddy, looked at me the other day, just kind of like, oh, God. It's just a demanding walk. So, and they've got to finish up today. The guys got to finish up today, the third round, and you know, including Rahm. He elected not to putt his 15-footer on 16 for birdie, and he had it really going there yesterday in the dusk. And then they got to come back and play another 18 today. I mean, fatigue could become a factor on Sunday. But it's just an amazing property.
Kevin, before we let you go, obviously, we spent a little bit earlier in the show talking about DeChambeau. Two cracks at a legitimate 59. He had a decent birdie effort on 17, and then on 18, I guess I would say that we were all shocked that he didn't make it. He had 6 feet. I'm sure that was the buzz going around the course yesterday afternoon.
I was there. I was there watching the finish, and certainly on 18, when he hit that shot in, he hit the ball from 144, played 154 up the hill, hit it to the back left corner and sucked it back, spun it all the way. A little topography came into play too, but brought it right back. It went right by the left edge of the hole, and it settles in 6 feet, 6 feet, 3 inches below the cup. It was a left edge putt, and it just stayed left. And I asked him afterwards if he pulled it, because I got to interview him afterwards, and he's like, you know, I hit the line I wanted to. I had to see if I pulled it. He pulled it, in my opinion. Easy to do, I think, in that situation, right? When you have, if it's right to left, that's a little easier, I would think, Jeff, in that situation. But left to right, it's like, do I keep it outside the hole? Do I keep it inside the hole and firm it? And then you have, I mean, thousands of people surrounding you. All the camera, I mean, everybody came out to see it. And it didn't happen. It was just stunning that it didn't happen. I mean, it was his career low on the PGA Tour. It was great to watch. And then in true Bryson fashion, he's like, I'm going to go practice after this to make sure my lines are right for the weekend.
He'll be fun to watch this weekend.
Yeah, you just got 60 and you got to go practice. Okay.
That's right. Kevin, what time does PGA Tour Radio's coverage start today?
We'll be on from 1 until 6 p.m. Our conclusion of play today, and then also tomorrow from 1 to 6, or until we have a champion of the BMW Championship.
Awesome. We'll be listening. Kev, thanks so much. Enjoy the weekend.
Stay hydrated.
Yes.
Yes, we'll do.
Awesome. Kevin Sylvester from the BMW Championship. You can listen to him and the rest of the PGA Tour radio team, as Kevin said today, Sirius XM at 1 o'clock, or on the PGA Tour app, or on PGAtour.com.
Kev's got a cool job.
Gets to follow the players that are playing well at each event call the action. Kevin does a great job with it. Let's finish up here from Pendleton Creek Golf Club with a funny story, I guess. Maybe not funny to Lucas Hebert, a Korn Ferry golfer. So he is absolutely flying high, and flying here is a good word to use. He clinched the PGA Tour card for his first time. So he's on his way to now what is the Korn Ferry Tour playoffs as well.
Which improves his seeding.
That's right. So he's a 25-year-old Australian. He was playing in Boise last week. And this week, the event is the Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship in Columbus, Ohio. Well, unfortunately, Lucas, who's Australian, maybe not as familiar with the geography of the United States, booked his flight and he flew into Columbus, Georgia, instead.
I think that's funny.
Yes. Didn't realize it. He said, he goes, the airport kind of seems small, but he goes, some of these cities have like a regional airport and then a larger airport. So he goes, maybe I just thought it was in the smaller airport. Well, he gets out, he goes up to get his rental car, and they don't have a reservation for him. And they're wondering, like, what's going on here? Well, he's like, look, I got it right here. That's when the agent showed him, sir, that's Columbus, Ohio. You're in Columbus, Georgia.
He's probably wondering how many Columbus cities are there in the United States at this point. Yes.
And the U.S. has a lot of, you know, multiple city names. I'm sure they have a lot of Columbuses. But yes, so Lucas Hebert flew to Columbus, Georgia, intending to travel to Columbus, Ohio. Now, he eventually did get to Columbus, Ohio. He got there, but he has been taking a ribbing this week. From his fellow players about it, which he should.
I bet he won't make that mistake again. Yeah, he'll double-check the state when he's traveling next year. Although, then he'll have the PGA Tour to help him make his arrangements as he moves forward,
which is
nice.
So congrats. He can laugh about it. It'll be something to laugh about for years to come. But Lucas Hebert, the Australian. So if you're flying into Columbus, Ohio, make sure your flight does not say Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah, they're not too close. It's a long car ride.
Probably a little different... A different landing area, too, I'm guessing.
The accent might get you when you
exactly.
get into Georgia.
Exactly.
Yes.
Hey, we want to thank everybody here at Pendleton Creek for, as always, rolling out the red carpet for us. Don Schneider, the PGA Pro. Thank you, Don, as always. And Ryan Edholm, member here at Pendleton Creek, also of Canisius Golf. The Little Three here on Tuesday. Don't forget, that'll be starting at 7 o'clock. Kevin Sylvester from the BMW Championship. Next week's our last show of the season. We will be at Niagara Frontier Golf Club in Youngstown. We're looking forward to that. PGA Pro Jeff Mitas, have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too.
I'm Brian Colziel. Corey Griswold back in our studios. Thank you. Corey and will be a part of Bills pregame. Jeremy White, actually, coming up next. Bills Packers, 1 o'clock today. The starters are going to play. Josh Allen will at least start the game. So Jeremy will get the pregame show going with Breakfast with the Bills coming up next, right after this. Thanks for listening. Tee to Green. We'll talk to you next Saturday right here on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.